Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Police Chief Eric Wilde. Hello, Eric.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're happy you're here today. Let me set a little bit of the background here. Earlier in the year, Police Chief Roger Schrader announced his retirement. After that, the city did a pretty extensive job search for a new chief. The candidates included internal, external candidates, multiple phases for the interviews of those candidates, and then recently the council has hired Eric as police chief and has officially accepted the role. So congratulations.
Thank you very much, and I'm very happy to be in that position.
Well, good. So give us a little bit of your personal background. What brought you to Jeff City? What brought you to this current position?
Well, I grew up about 35 miles from here in a little town called St. Elizabeth, Missouri. Joined the National Guard whenever I was 17 years old, a junior in high school. And my experience in the National Guard kind of led me down that path to law enforcement. I worked for a counter-drug program in the National Guard, and it was very rewarding, so I made the decision to go to Central Missouri State University in Warrensburg to study criminal justice. Achieved my bachelor's degree there, and during the time while I was in college, I did an internship at World's Fun, of all places, and worked security. So I had a lot of interaction with big city cops, Kansas City Police Department, Liberty Police Department. So I was kind of had an affinity to the Kansas City area. And I think like most college graduates do, I wanted to find the highest paying job that there was. I applied with Johnson County, Kansas Sheriff's Department, and it was one of the highest paying in the metro region. And I got that job and was making good money, but there was always something kind of tugging at me because I was it wasn't my community. I was living in Kansas City, but I wasn't back with my roots. I wasn't doing the job for what I always envisioned it as being, which was serving my family, my friends, my community. So after about 2.5 years in Johnson County, I made the decision to come back here to Jefferson City, which I always considered home, because I felt the job itself was more rewarding to be here and serve the community where I considered myself, where I grew up. This is where I've always gone to eat, shop, go out to movies and things like that. So that's kind of what brought me back to Jefferson City. Mm-hmm. I've been back here since 1998. Started out on patrol and did some time as a detective, did some narcotics unit investigations, got promoted to sergeant. So I've kind of bounced around between investigations, patrol activities. I was in charge of our community services unit for a while. So I've just kind of constantly been making my way up through the ranks with hitting what I think are key assignments within the police department to give you a good, well-rounded knowledge of everything and how the department works. So I've been a captain now since 2014. My first assignment as captain was the Support Services Division Commander, where I was in charge of the 911 center, animal control, records and facilities, which is basically everything non-police related, which was a big eye-opening experience for me. So I learned a lot in that position as well. And then about 4 years ago, I transferred over to the Operations Division, where I was in charge of patrol, traffic unit, SWAT, and crisis negotiations. So I'm honored and I'm very happy to have achieved now the rank of Chief of Police, and I look forward to doing great things for the community and working closely with the community to keep things on the right path.
All right. Well, let's talk about just generally about the public's perception of policing. So it strikes me that sometimes it seems like it goes to the extreme. Either there are no good police officers in that force, no police officer can do wrong. So what do you perceive the role of police are in society today, and how is it different maybe than from previous generations of policing?
Well, I don't think that the role of police officer has changed all that much, because we are still law enforcement officers. We enforce the laws that are voted upon and enacted by our legislative bodies. But I think the public perception of what they think the police are has changed. You know, I can only speak to my 20-some years, and I know it was different before me, but it used to be very law and order. You know, you break the law, we catch you breaking the law. We make our case, you go to jail and let the courts handle it. Things have changed so much now with a lot of the mental health issues that we've seen in our communities and across the nation, that we've had to take on a lot bigger role in the maintenance of order. It's maybe not as much law enforcement as it is community protection, community assistance. And that's not a bad thing, because I like to have the opportunity for police officers to be out there and be helpers and not always just being the ones that are enforcing the laws that are written by our legislature. So I always take the positive away from everything is that I think now this generation of police officers is more well-rounded than maybe we've seen in the past. I am sensitive to the national narrative related to policing. That has changed a lot, but that swings back and forth depending on the times and what has occurred. You know, I remember after 9/11, what a tragic event for our country, and the popularity of police officers and firefighters was probably at its highest you'd seen in years. And then, you know, some of the tragic events that you've seen in other communities at the hands of police officers has really changed that narrative. So we've got to do everything we can at the local level and at every level to maybe change that narrative back to what our role is and how we are community helpers and community assistants. And that starts internally, too. I have a lot of conversations with our internal employees because they will get down when they read the national headlines and see statements on social media. And I have to remind them that we live in Jefferson City and we are so lucky to live and work in Jefferson City because of how supportive this community is for us. A lot of communities just aren't that way, and we're very fortunate. So that's one of my first goals as a new chief of police is to tell the narrative about what a great community we live in, how rewarding it is to be a police officer here, and how you just get that satisfaction every night that you go home knowing that the people here that you're serving will come up and shake your hand. I told this story to someone the other day is, you know, you'll go out to lunch here regularly, and by the time you go up to pay for your lunch, it's already been taken care of. That's Jefferson City. Yeah. Every single day, people are bringing in cards and thank you letters down to the police department. They're bringing pizzas. They're bringing pastries. They're bringing drinks. That's Jefferson City. So I want to impress upon our community and our officers that that's Jefferson City and is a great place to work. Be cognizant of the national narrative, understand why that's out there, don't let it happen here, but relish in what you have here because it's a great community.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think sometimes you earlier you touched on this, this idea of what sometimes fuels that perception is it is just a law and order type organization, but increasingly there's a mental health element there of the job that it's not so cut and dry as to how to respond. And can you, obviously not giving names or too many details about cases, but kind of show listeners how it's not so cut and dried sometimes in responding to a scene, that it's not so much about breaking the law as in dealing with a mental health crisis.
Well, I can give you a specific example, not names, but it was a couple years ago where I responded to a call of a gentleman that was carrying a rope and he was crossing one of our overpasses across Highway 50. I think it was the Chestnut Street overpass. And when I got there, he openly said he was contemplating hanging himself. So I got into, you know, we started talking to him, and the story goes is that he was living in his car because he and his estranged wife were having problems. She had kicked him out of the house. He had no money, no place to go. During that time, he had gotten off of his medication, so he was having some mental episodes during that time. He also had a couple of court cases pending for traffic violations and that sort of thing. And that's not an uncommon situation, you know. So we could have very easily, you know, checked to see if he had warrants or something like that. But it's so much more complex than that, because what that gentleman really needed more than anything was just help. Help sorting through all those problems. He needed spiritual help because he was just down. So, you know, how do you address that? In the past, I feel pretty fortunate that Jeff City, we just had a crisis action point that opened up recently, because prior to that, in the past, we did only have very few options. We could have either let the gentleman stay and fend for himself. We could have taken him to the hospital to maybe get his medication taken care of, and or a medical or mental screening, or if there was a criminal sort of event, taking him to jail. Well, now we've got an option to really sit down with the person one-on-one and sort through all those problems and address them holistically. And that's where I think law enforcement has changed, as society is starting to catch up, and we do have options now, more options for dealing with people with very complex issues like that.
Yeah. So again, going back to the whole idea of the perceptions of the profession, what could police do generally, not just JCPD, what could they do to improve the perception?
I think that police, by their very nature, aren't the type of people to toot their own horn and tell their own story. Because we do have people that are critical of us here in Jefferson City, and they say, why aren't you doing more community policing? Why aren't you doing this? But I see it every day. We get texts from people saying, hey, thanks because your officer stopped by and gave my child some stickers. Or your officer got out and challenged my son to a foot race the other day, and it was just a great event. So I think we've got to be better about telling those stories and taking the time to highlight those. Because if we're not, the community doesn't see that happen. And it's very difficult to get an officer to get out his phone and snap a selfie or something like that to tell that story, because they really don't like bringing attention to themselves. They do it because it's the right thing to do in their heart, but they don't want to advertise it, so to speak. So I think we've got to be better about just telling that story, and whenever those opportunities come up, highlight them. Because I know those sort of things are going on every day in our community. People are getting out of their cars, you know, shaking people's hands, talking with little kids. And that's the essence of community policing right there, is just getting out of your car and saying hi to folks and being friendly. But taking the time to snap that photo and maybe putting it on Facebook is just not the first thing we instinctively do.
Right. That gives the public an opportunity to see the person behind the badge.
Correct.
And certainly makes a connection there. So flipping that around, what could the public do to change its perception of the police?
Well, I am a big proponent of people just coming down to the police department and saying hi. Mm-hmm. Come meet us face to face. Schedule a ride along if you want to. If you want to know what's going on in the community, come get in the car and ride with us. We have a ride along program. I guess the other thing is that when people see an officer in uniform, they don't look at the face, they look at the uniform. And that's a natural reaction, but there's a human being behind every badge. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, you know, nationally, and I've dealt with this, is when they see the badge, they say, that's the police, and the police do this.
Yeah.
They brush with such a broad stroke that they don't take into consideration that each individual has different backgrounds, has different motivations for doing their job, has a different service mindset. So maybe looking at us more from the human side as opposed to just the uniform and saying, well, if you're the police, you do this. This is the standard, and that's how everybody does it. I'll say this. We've got multiple law enforcement agencies right here in Jefferson City. We've got Lincoln University. We've got Cole County Sheriff. We've got Capitol Police. Highway Patrol is here. Jeff City polices differently than all of them. We have different responsibilities. We have different territories, jurisdictions. We police differently than Columbia. We police differently than Lake Ozark or Ashland or Fulton. And I think it's important that we do, because you always have to police to your community and what your community standards are. If we were all cookie cutter police officers, we would miss the boat, because we address Jefferson City from the perspective of, this is what our city wants and this is what they'll support. So that's how we need to approach our policing.
Yeah. Well, I think also you offer opportunities in addition to the ride-alongs and things like that. I know we had a story recently about the town hall meeting that you recently had, and a series that you're going to be having to talk about specific issues, or I would assume general issues at that time too. So it falls upon the public to seize upon those opportunities to reach out, and maybe not at a time of crisis, but at a time where you can have a conversation.
Yeah, the best times to deal with problems is before they arise.
Sure.
By talking to people, working through your issues and your thoughts. If you let a crisis occur and then you're making those connections, it's too late. So I'm going to be very proactive, and if anybody who's listening wants me to come and speak to your organization, I'd be happy to do so. But I want to establish those relationships early on in our community. And continue to. I mean, I've been here 25 years. I have a lot of really strong relationships in this city. But if there are others that want to establish a relationship in that communication channel to me, by all means, call. Another thing I failed to mention is we do have a Citizens Police Academy that we're going to be putting on this fall. So people can reach out if they're interested in that. But that's a 7-week program where you can come in and we basically open the doors to the police department and explain everything we do, from policing strategies to animal control strategies to our communication center to, you know, our records management. So it's a real good insight into the police department. We dig in, we answer a lot of questions, and people do get the opportunity to ride along and see it firsthand. So I've always said, you know, if you want to be part of the solution, come down and talk to us, because we're all ears. I think it's important that we do police to the expectations of our community.
Yeah. So give us an idea of what constitutes JCPD. So, you know, size of force, how would you describe its makeup to a layman? There are elements from investigations to customer support, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of walk us through how the police department here in Jefferson City is organized, mm-hmm. so that way the public has a better idea of how they interface with you.
So the chief of police runs the organization, and we have three divisions underneath the chief of police. It is the operations division, so that's everything patrol, traffic unit. You know, think about your officers on the beat. And then that's also our part-time SWAT team and our part-time crisis negotiations team. So that's operations. That's your daily activities related to patrol and critical incidents. We have a special services division, and those are all the units that really take the time to maybe dig in more with issues. So we've got our community action team that I think you've probably heard of. That's a group of officers that really takes the time, and they're not call driven. They don't respond to calls for service. But when there are issues in a community that are leading to maybe increased crime, they sink their teeth into that. They work with landlords. They work with code enforcement. They look for those creative solutions to reducing opportunities for crime or dealing with a heightened sense of crime in a neighborhood. We've got our community services unit that is all of our school resource officers, and we've got some crime prevention specialists in there, so we can go out and do educational programs for businesses, for households. You know, neighborhood watch is included in that. During the summer, when they're not in school, a lot of those officers are out in the public doing community events and that sort of thing, a lot of outreach. And then we also have the criminal investigations section in there, and those are our detectives. So those are the ones that really dig in on the major crimes and the things that need a little bit more attention than your daily, you know, call-to-call type activities. The final division is our support services division, and that is our 911 center, records section, animal control section, and facilities. So it's kind of broken down in support services, operational activities, and then special services, the ones that can really dig in and do the work. Another office that reports directly to the chief of police is our Office of Professional Standards. Those are the individuals that assist with setting up training, making sure we're meeting all the training requirements, and also they do background investigations, hiring of officers, the application process, and they also are the ones that investigate complaints against officers and anything that we would see internally that maybe needed a look at. The Office of Professional Standards does that. So three divisions with a couple of sections that report directly to the chief to make sure everything is going in the right direction.
Well, and as you've mentioned, I mean, you've had experience in many of those divisions.
Yes.
So you have pretty good perspective of what the biggest challenges may be for the department as chief now. Mm-hmm. What would you identify as the biggest challenges facing the department today?
Funny enough, it's not police related.
Okay.
It is really selling our story to get people interested in this profession again, in this line of work and in public service, because in my tenure here, we're currently down 14 officers, and I've never seen it that low. We're down 6 communications operators out of the 20 that we staff. So we're facing some shortages. And the difference is, you know, when I was hired in 1998, there may be one or two positions open and you would have a couple hundred applicants. Mm-hmm. You know, when we've got 13 openings right now and you're only getting 30, it's going to take a lot of time to climb out of that hole. So
sure.
We have really, my biggest challenge is to sell our community, sell our agency, and sell the profession, and get people interested in coming here to Jeff City to be a public servant, and just let them know how rewarding it is to work here. Because if we continue down this path, I mean, we have some people that are eligible to retire over the next few years, and we're going to have to start digging out of this hole and get some people out there that really want to serve this community and be a community servant and do great work for this town.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's startling when you talk about the percentage of officers or positions that are vacant. That's not what we would call normal churn, or
right.
What you expect, right?
Yeah.
So you're right. It's a much more difficult prospect there of trying to fill those positions.
Yeah.
Do you perceive that it's not that Jeff City is necessarily not an easy place to hire to, or it's just there's not a lot of candidates out there, period?
I don't think we are unique to having shortages of police officers. And everybody talks about police officers because it's the police department, but I'm equally, if not more, concerned about our 911 operator situation because, you know, heaven forbid we get to the point where there's no one there to answer 911. You know what I mean? So we're having to be very creative now with scheduling. We've got some employees internally that moved out of the 911 realm that are working, say, in records now. They've changed it. They're filling the gaps, so to speak. So I know this isn't unique challenge just to Jefferson City, but what I will say, and I've said it a million times in this podcast already, is Jefferson City is just a great place to work. So if there are people, you know, going back, you see in the news about all of the hundreds and hundreds of officers that are leaving big cities like Minneapolis, Chicago, Seattle, you know, they're just getting out of the line of work. For people that still love this line of work but maybe don't love where they're working at, Jeff City is the place for you.
Sure.
Because it's a very supportive community. We've got a lot of, especially if you're an outdoorsy type of person and you like a little bit of a small town atmosphere with enough crime and criminal activity to keep you interested. You know, I'm not going to shy away from the fact that we have some issues in our town that need to be addressed and we have criminal activity. It's not Mayberry.
Right.
But it's not also like some of these larger cities where as soon as you show up for work, you're already 12 calls down and you don't have time to breathe. We've got time to be proactive. We've got time to get out of our cars and go say hi to people. And then whenever those big events pop up, yeah, you're going to be busy for a while. So that's the perfect mix for me, is that you've got proactive time where you can go out and do proactive things. And then you've got your call for service driven activities that aren't overwhelming. And then again, like I said, just every time that you're out in the community and someone comes up and shakes your hand or says thank you for your service, it's just, that's my challenge, is to tell that story and get that out there in a big way to let people know this is a great town to work in.
Yeah. So the flip side of biggest challenges, what are the biggest opportunities for the police department at this time?
Well, the biggest opportunities, I'd say one of our biggest assets, maybe not opportunities right now, are our employees. You know, there's nothing like going through the halls down at the police department and hearing people laughing and the family atmosphere that we have. It's a tough, when people do decide to leave for maybe a higher paying job, it's a pretty tough decision for them. We've got a great atmosphere there at the police department and everybody gets along really well. And we really do consider it a family atmosphere. But, you know, as far as opportunities for us, I don't know how else to say it other than just that we're in such a supportive town. You know, recently, based upon some challenges we were facing with pay and equipment, this town passed a public safety tax. The vote went 70-30. That's a pretty large statement, you know, as far as, and I think you've been around a while, and a lot of tax efforts have gone down in flames.
Or been a much closer vote.
Yeah. So for that to pass on the first try, 70-30, that tells you right there how supportive this town is. And that's our opportunity, is that we can go out there and enhance our community relationships and everybody's warm and welcoming. We don't have a lot of people that shut the door on us and say no, you know.
Right.
We live right here in the shadow of state government, so we've got a lot of resources. We've got a lot of good teammates. Chief Zim Schwartz over at Capitol Police, Chief Gary Hill at Lincoln, Sheriff John Wheeler. We have all worked so closely together over the past several years, you know. The team environment that we bring to this community, and everybody's willing to back each other up, you know, in multiple ways and assist each other. You know, it never became more apparent than over the past few years when some of our protests have started to get a little bit more higher temperature, I'll call it, over at the Capitol. We just all work really well together. So we've got a great team internally at the police department. We've got a really good law enforcement team. We've got a really good public safety team that extends to our relationship with the fire department, Cole County EMS. Everybody just works together so well.
Yeah, I think that's something that's perhaps lost on folks who live in Jeff City because it's there all the time. But you have those multiple agencies that where they're overlapping during stressful periods of protests, as one example, or for that matter, the tornado. All of these elements where how well the pieces work together. It becomes less about egos and more about serving the public.
Yeah, and I think that's all of our shared focus is on this community.
Yeah.
I've got friends from larger law enforcement agencies in bigger cities, and I always laugh because they've got this adversarial relationship mm-hmm. with their fire department. You've seen it. You've seen it in the media. You've seen it in movies, but not here. You know, everybody, we're just one team, you know, trying to achieve the same goal, which is, you know, safety for our community. And so it's rewarding to have that kind of backup and that team atmosphere here.
Yeah. So first 100 days, what's your goals for trying to get going?
Well, right now I'm going to be holding just some team meetings. I want to get back around because I've been out of the 911 realm for a while. I've been out of some of those other sections. So I want to get back and have some meetings internally with our employees and see what's on their mind. We're going to start working towards establishing a annual strategic plan of some sort with goals and objectives for the department. I want there to be a lot of buy-in from the employees. So I want to hear what's on their mind. Obviously, with me leaving my position and becoming the chief, we've got some openings to fill now, so I'll have to establish a promotion process. So I want to get that done sooner than later so we can get the team set, not look in the rearview mirror, and just keep moving forward. And after that, just opportunities to get out into the community, do things like I'm doing today to maybe highlight our department, explain what we do, and break down any sort of communication barriers that might exist that I don't know exist yet. So sure. I'm all ears. I'm willing to listen to just about anybody that wants to let me know what they feel about our department and our community.
All right. Well, Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.